Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning at verse 23, reading through chapter 10, verse 11. And with God's help, we want to focus on verse 10 and 11 for our text, and also Lord's Day 35. And we can find that in the top of the page in the back of our Psalter on page 38. Leviticus, chapter 9, beginning with verse 23. Beloved, let us now hear the word of our God. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. Let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine or strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May he add his blessing unto it. In the back of our Psalter, in the top of page 38, we find Lord's Day 35 with three question and answers. Question 96, what does God require in this second commandment? Answer, that we in no wise make any image of God, nor worship him in any other way than he has commanded in his word. Question 97, may we then not make any image at all? Answer, God neither can nor may be visibly represented in any way. As for creatures, though they may be visibly represented, yet God forbids us to make or have any likeness of them in order to worship them or serve God by them. Question 98. But may not images be tolerated in the churches as books for the laity? Answer, no. For we must not be wiser than God, who will not have his people taught by dumb images, but by the living preaching of his word. Thus far. Dear congregation, last Sabbath we considered the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we find at the outset, as we read the commandments every Sabbath, that God says he's a jealous God. He's jealous for his name. He's jealous for his character. And we have to be a holy people. We have to be separate from the world. We have to be separate from all man-made religions. And so we have to flee all man-made religion that we looked at last time. We have to have biblical knowledge. We were talking about that in consistory room this morning. For us adults, for young people, for children, it is desperately needed for us to have biblical knowledge, not just in the head, but in the heart, that the Word of God would grip us. And that out of us would come that cry, sola scriptura. And we look at Jehovah's worship. It's covenantal. God delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. He gave them his law. And then he gave them how to worship him. But as we go into the second commandment, we find there's a negative and a positive aspect. We are to have no visible images of God. But also, we are to worship God only in the way that he has commanded us in his word. As we look at the book of Leviticus, sometimes when we come to that in our Bible reading, we almost want to shy away from it. Because there's so many things of what God says that we must do and must not do. Leviticus is a book of how to worship God. In the Westminster Standards, they have at the end of it the directory for public worship. That's what Leviticus is. It's a directory, Old Testament, New Testament, of what public worship is to consist of. So we want to look at, with God's help, for our theme, Strange Fire, taken from the chapter that we read. In three places. First of all, it's reality. Secondly, it's danger. And third, it's remedy. The reality of strange fire. Verse 10. Of our text, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. And also from the Catechism, that we in no wise represent God by images, nor worship him in any other way that he has commanded. How relevant the Ten Commandments are. How relevant this Lord's Day is to modern day society. We have to answer the question, does the New Testament church worship Jehovah differently from the Old Testament church? And the answer is basically no. Oh, there is a difference. The New Testament church, the early church, historians tell us that they worship God according to the synagogue worship. There was the temple, and then there were local synagogues. In the synagogue, there would be a preacher or a leader, and he would read the Word of God. He would expound upon it. They would sing psalms. The New Testament church would do exactly the same thing except for one person. Of course, we know who that is. that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He's a covenantal fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. But the church worshiped God. They were a separate people. We have to ask then, has Jehovah changed? In this 21st century, has the living God changed how he instructs us to worship him? Well, we find that God is immutable. His law is immutable. In other words, it doesn't change. God does not change. He cannot change his mind. His law stays the same. His eternal decree stays the same. The elect and the reprobate stay the same. He says in Malachi 3 verse 6, I am Jehovah, I change not. And that ought to give us comfort. But in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 18, the Lord says, to whom then will ye liken God? And we see ridiculous signs by churches. God is like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going. And there's times I want to stop and I would like to knock on the parsonage and ask the pastor, what is he doing? What is he allowing to be said? God is like the Energizer Bunny. God says, unto whom will ye liken me? There is nothing in the universe, there's nothing on earth that we can liken to Jehovah of hosts. And so the New Testament church is not free, beloved. We are not free to worship the way we feel like. We think about our order of worship, the votum and the salutation and the psalters and the scripture reading and the sermon and the benediction. Everything is there to focus upon the text, but to focus upon God. We sing the songs of Zion. We want to be faithful to the Word of God. Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? And beloved, for our elders, we are to be faithful. It matters not about numbers. It matters not about what people think of us. We are to be faithful to how God has commanded us. So Lord's Day 35 tells us, and also from our chapter, the awful truth and the reality of strange fire. The awful reality of departing from the living God, doing what we think is right. The Lord's Day speaks about images, and no, we don't have pictures of Jesus, and thank God for that. We don't have a worship service that is after the world, and thank God for that, but we can have mental images of who God is. But we want to look at what Nadab and Abihu did and how they departed from the living God. They were sons of Aaron. And immediately after Moses and Aaron came out of the tabernacle and the fire of God came down upon the altar. And beloved, that was the reality and the sign that God had accepted the sacrifice. That the men, Moses and Aaron, were not consumed, but the fire consumed the God-ordained sacrifice. And God was well pleased with that. Nadab and Abihu knew the Bible. They knew what Levitical law was. They knew how to worship the Lord. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 8, it says, when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. He shall offer no strange incense thereof. In other words, to become estranged. When strange worship is offered, in the place of biblical worship, it is a strange fire. It is the people become estranged or separated from God. And they think they worship Him, and they do not. And so verse 1 of our chapter says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which He commanded them not. In other words, they were implementing into biblical worship what they thought would be right. More than likely, it might have been at a different time, a different appointed time. They might have been caught up with their own church office and were enamored by the people that followed them. But to be sure, they offered up strange fire. They dared to tread the holy courts against what God had commanded. Our text says in verse 10 that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Beloved, you and I are to put a difference between what the world offers as worship. And yes, it's easy to point a finger and say they're doing it wrong, and we're doing it right. Are we? Are we really worshiping God aright? Well, we'll get more of that later. In verse 3 it says, Aaron held his peace. Could it be, after his sons died, could it be Aaron realized that his sons just might have learned idolatry from him? He's the one that had the people of Israel build the golden calf. And that was in him, and even though he is sorely rebuked by the Lord, could it be that Aaron still had that in him? Could it be that his sons learned that? Second commandment says that God is a jealous God. He visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate Him. Could it be that Jehovah was visiting the iniquity of Aaron on his sons? The reality of it is, all the way through church history, Old Testament and New, there are those that would try to inject into the worship how they feel it could be made better. We have this idea in our head that the elders are doing it wrong, and I got a better idea. But secondly, it's danger. Are images then not to be at all to be made? Answer, God neither can nor may be represented by any means, neither to worship or serve Him by them. The modern day church, beloved, is appealing to the carnal desires, particularly of young people. They have their praise teams. And as I was thinking about this, the modern day church is really not so different from a rock concert, is it? The rock concert has their praise teams. They have the chosen few up there, and they're leading the people. And the people are all enamored by what's going on. And what goes on in the modern day church is whatever seems right to the people, men or women. It is a wedding ceremony, is it not? It is a joining together of the world and the church. And no, the church is not going into the world. It is inviting the world into the worship service. It is inviting the same beat and the same rhythm that gets people stirred up. And I ask, is this strange fire in modern day churches? It begs us to consider it. It begs us to consider it because the only way we will know what is pleasing to God is through His Word. And that's why the Lord gave Moses instructions about building the tabernacle. In Exodus 25:9, the Lord says to Moses about Israel, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And that ought to be first and foremost. That it is God's desire, beloved. It's God's desire to dwell among us. Of His covenantal love to His people. He desires to be with us in New Hope Reformed Fellowship. Build me a tabernacle according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle. Everything in the tabernacle, the size, the shape, the coverings, the furniture inside, everything pointed ahead to Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Matthew says, or John says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God desires to dwell among us, but not according to what we want, according to His dictates. So there's a danger there that we would make images. It ought to really offend us when we see churches at Christmas time having a manger scene on the stage. They ask people to come up and bow before the Christ child. Beloved, that's idolatry. That's image worship. We were at a wedding last week in a Lutheran church. It's amazing what happened there. There was a crucifix. Well, it wasn't. It was a cross with an icon of Jesus with his arms raised up. And when the minister prayed, instead of facing the congregation, he turned around and faced the icon. It's appalling how Roman the Lutheran Church is and how acceptable this is, that there was honor paid to an icon in direct contradiction to what we find, that God is not to be represented or worshiped through these images. And the Lord spoke about this also in the second giving of the law. Before it, Deuteronomy 4, he says, "Take ye heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude," in other words, visible image, "on the day Jehovah spake unto you in Horeb, in the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves." The danger is, congregation, there was no similitude given to Israel, and he says, don't make a similitude, lest ye corrupt yourselves. Corruption is rottenness. Rottenness is in the bones. And the danger for us today is New Testament as well. In Romans chapter 1:22, we look at that as a warning, and rightly so, against homosexuality. But if you read in the bottom of that chapter, it includes all manner of different sins. But it says in 1:22, the people professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their hearts. This is spiritual death to the modern day church. No, there's not fire coming out from heaven today. But there's something worse. There's something worse than the body dying. It is being given up by the Lord. Three times in Romans 1, it says God gave them up. He gave them over. It's because they were unthankful. And they changed the image of the uncorruptible God in a downward spiral to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Man has a tendency to depart further and further from the Lord. It is no accident that the church today, the modern day church, is standing with Hollywood and with the government, clamoring for a redefinition of marriage and calling us hate mongers if we stand according to the Word of God. And the danger is seen in how the Lord has taken care of His church with consistories, with a pastor and elders and deacons. And I'm thinking particularly of ruling elders. Heavy responsibility upon the men that are elders in this church. No, I'm not making any insinuations of anyone. But beloved brethren, stand fast. And you make sure whoever goes in the Lord's pulpit is anointed with the Spirit. And he's going to bring forth the true Word of God. Oh yes, with a stammering tongue and with great fear and trembling. But you have to realize the Lord is going to hold you responsible. That His people are taught not by dumb images, but by the Word of God. So the remedy is God will have His people taught not by dumb images, but by the lively preaching of His Word. That's fallen upon hard times, isn't it? This pulpit. Used to be you go into a church, and the furniture of the church, the first thing you see is the pulpit and the podium. And the minister is elevated, and the Bible is elevated. And so all the people can see the Bible and see the Word of God being preached. And today there's a hunk of plastic up there, easily removed. And the drawing power of the modern day church to young people is, they meet my spiritual needs. Really. I have a fearful feeling that, and again, I'm not making reference to our young people, so don't say I'm singling you out. But I have a fearful feeling that many young people in professing churches or modern-day churches have no idea what their spiritual needs are. I was thinking about this. You can set before young people junk food. You can have several liters of soda pop and pizza and whatever fast foods, and they gravitate toward that, but a home-cooked meal, maybe they turn away from it. Spiritually, it's the same way. Young people and older as well, we normally gravitate toward what pleases the flesh, the junk food that the modern-day church has to offer instead of the meat of the Word of God. And what I'm fearful about is that most young people have no idea of their misery being separated from God. They have no idea what the enormity of their sin is, and they see no need for a Savior. And they all join the church, and they have a good time together. But the true child of God trembles before the Word of God. He trembles at his sins. And he realizes that there is only one Savior. There's only one way that he can approach God. It is through a God-appointed mediator. Worldly music and cute, fuzzy stories never met the spiritual needs of God's people. If we went into that, we would go away extremely hungry, would we not? This type of entertainment would never feed our souls. And there's others, they clamor for miracles. They want to see the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever wondered what the power of the Holy Ghost is when you see young people converted? Going from being a son or daughter of Adam's fallen race to being born again by the Word and Spirit of Christ. How their whole attitude changes and how there's something different with them because they know the Lord and they're not just content with mere church membership. The remedy is the official proclamation of the Word of God, and that the preaching is held up. The votum, the salutation, the benediction, the psalters, all are there to uphold the particular text that was chosen and expounded upon. Peter speaks about this, of what we have. 2 Peter 1:19, he's referring to how Peter, James, and John, they saw the Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's much talk about that. Would you not have liked to have been there? To see this man, Jesus of Nazareth, transformed? And his garments became white as the light? And Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day star dawn in your hearts. Beloved, never, and young people in particular, never be satisfied with the junk food that the modern day church is giving out. But pray that the Lord would give you an appetite for the preached word of God. Yes, you'll stand alone. Many of your peer group will laugh at you. Oh, you got religion now. Or whatever. Don't follow the crowds. Follow the leading of the Spirit and sit down and receive the pure milk of the Word of God. Jehovah never tolerated dumb idols in his worship. He will have his people taught by the lively preaching of the Word. May the Word of God preached be satisfying to us. May we really see the spiritual need of our soul is to have God's Word not only preached, but applied by the Holy Ghost to our hearts and minds, that we would be true children of Jehovah. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we do give Thee thanks for Thy loving kindness unto us. We thank Thee for clear directions in Thy Word and also in our confessions of what worship is to be. And grant us an appetite for that type of worship. And grant us, Lord, that we might be like-minded one with another. That we might be satisfied, that our souls would be satisfied with the righteousness as found in Jesus Christ and Him being crucified. Lord, seal thy word to our hearts. And hear this our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.